Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone from Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh, where I have the great bliss to be today, and Bezus Hashem, hopefully for a period of time to come. I'd like to share with you some thoughts on Parshas Matteis Maaseh, this week's Parsha, and I'd like to begin with a word or two about one of the unusual arichus, one of the points where the Torah speaks at length about something that seems to be of just minor consequence, and that is the booty of the battle with Midian. Whatever it is that they captured in the battle of Midian, and the division of the booty between those who went to war and the rest of Klal Yisrael, and the amount given to the Kohanim or Leviim, you'll learn the parsha and see which one, is dealt with at extraordinary length, and certainly there are limudim to be had from it. I'd like to point out, it's not so much what it says as what it barely says. And that is, Rashi says on the dividing of the booty in Pasuk Yoyed HaHalif, Malamed Shehoyuk Sheirim B'Tzadikim V'Leinech Shedu Al HaGezel Shleach Yad B'Biza Shalei Bershus. One of the lessons of this parasha is that Klal Yisrael did not take anything. The soldiers didn't take anything on their own. Those doing battle or those helping in battle, no one took anything. It was all divided according to the Tzavah, the Torah, the way the Torah is Mechayiv, and they were Tzadikim, as Rashi seems to indicate, it's the derech of people in the middle of a battle to be Melamed Tzchus, to say that they're entitled, and still they did not do so. That's what Rashi says. So we get the impression of people who went to battle and nothing in it for themselves. Yet, Rashi goes on. Rashi explains the difference between the word in Hebrew for booty, shalal, and the word biza. Biza means booty in battle. And so does shalal. And the two words that seem to mean the same thing. So Rashi, no. Shalal refers to malbush the tachshitim. It refers to jewelry or other clothing. It appears to mean significant items of clothing that people wear. What is biza? Biza is everything else. Metatlim, that are not tashitim, the less significant items, maybe the lashon biza is the lashon related to bizayin, meaning things that are not as chashiv, not as important as the normal booty of a battle. Now, what actually happened here, and Rashi says this in two words, is that Klal Yisrael took the live people and animals that were captured and divided as prescribed in the Torah. The shalal means the tachshitim, the mabushim they took, and with that created a carbon nedava, which they gave. Where the chiyuv for that comes, I don't know, but that's what Rashi says. But then Rashi says, and everything else, meaning everything but the animals and the jewelry or important items of clothing, they took for themselves. They did take for themselves. As a matter of fact, you notice that in the parasha, right after the biza, it says in the parasha that the items that are used for cooking have to be kashered and have to be tabled. The source of kashering and tabling is here. So in fact, Klal Yisrael were entitled to take a lot of things in the battle. It was only the most significant or important things that they were not allowed to take. Now, this is not the impression we get from the Pesukim in the Torah. And yet, there must be some limud. The Torah goes to such length to stress the idea that the significant items of booty were not to be taken by individuals, as if it's kulay just l'shem shamayim. And yet, ordinary items, presumably household items, if it's dishes and pots, then I would imagine it's furniture, and other household items as well. Halay davarhu. And it would seem that Klal Yisrael had a lesson here, a tremendous lesson. They left Mitzrayim with a lot of wealth. When they left Mitzrayim, they were wealthy. And as we're taught in the story of Korach, the wealth did not do them well. It was not good for them. It was not good to have all of this wealth. I mentioned in the past of some Sefer, who says that the Biza Tanyam was the source of the gold and silver, of the gold from which they made the Egel Hazav. The sorcerer was the Biza Sayam, which they took because they wanted to be rich. The Mishkan was made from the Bizas Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they didn't want to take, as Rashi brings in Parshas Bai. They just said, let us go out. We don't want to take anything. Just give us our freedom. So then when Klal Yisrael had a strong desire for wealth, by Bizas Sayam, it brought them to the Egel. And here they are 40 years later, a new generation. And the first opportunity for Biza, the first opportunity to take things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, don't make the same mistake your avos did. Nival lohain, ish ra'ayin, Shlomo HaMelech says. Nival lohain, someone's a behold to become wealthy, ish ra'ayin. It's a bad eye. Layeda ki chasi yibiyehu. He doesn't realize he's going to lose from all of that. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, don't take from the booty of Midian. Now you might think, don't take because it's holy. Shmuel says, no, not because it's holy. If you see a pot and you want to cook a challah for Shabbos, take the pot and kosher it, and it's fine. Not because it's holy, but because there's wealth. Where is the wealth? In the tashitim, in the behemoths, and the items of great value. That... Watch out. Remember what happened at Biza Sayam. And Klal Yisrael, a Kedoshim, they didn't touch it. Now, it will be Osir Bahanoah, of course they didn't touch it. Surya Nahasa. Because Shmuel told them, no, don't take things because those things are things that bring a person to wealth. You need pillows, you need a nice couch, take it. But items of wealth, don't take. So I asked earlier, from where did it come that the shalal of the tachshitim and the mabushim, significant items of jewelry, and the items of clothing, that they brought a carbon with it? Where was the commandment for that? Where do we find that? The answer may well be, we don't find it. But Klal Yisrael got the message. They got the message, there's a difference between items a person has that make his life easier, practical items, and items that are just items of extravagance. Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation of plenty. But people have to know the difference between spending money on things that make life easier, that are functional items of life, and spending money on things that make life more complicated. Homes in two or three cities that make a person busy with all kinds of odds and ends. Rav Palm's father, in his will, left money to Rav Palm on the condition that he buys a home. Rav Palm didn't want to buy a home. He said, a homeowner has headaches. He has things to take care of. I don't want to be distracted from my learning. I'm not talking about an extra home in the mountains or in Florida or even in Eretz Yisrael. I'm talking about the primary home. Rav Palm's father understood that to be financially stable, somebody in Chinuch has to have a home, has to have a house that he lives in. So he left in whatever Yerusha he left on the condition that he buys a home. That attitude, the attitude of Rav Palm, of not having too much stuff is a distraction to people. Having too many items is a distraction. Managing the items. The insight into what took place with the Shalal Midyan may well be this particular lesson. Let's move on to a second message of the related to the parasha, more related to being in Eretz Yisrael. We find this week the expression again that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavas Chol Ludvash. I mentioned to you in the past, probably in Parashas Kisavai, that Eretz Zavas Chol Ludvash, the description of Eretz Yisrael as land that flows with milk and honey, is a description that's not found in Sefer Bereishis. It's only found the first time at the Sneh. And the reason for that is that the Avais had a Havtacha for Eretz Yisrael. The Avais were Kedoshim v'Tahirim. Do they care if there's Cholav and Dvash in the land? They're talking about a land of Aliyah Ruchni, a land of Mitzvah Sakluyus Ba'aretz, a land with the Shechina and Shruya. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to the Avais in Eretz Yisrael that's Mu'ula. That's a place of great Kedusha and great Aliyah. At the snap, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go and speak to Klal Yisrael. The Hamoinam, the ordinary people in Klal Yisrael, you can tell them have places of Aliyah Ruchni, they're not holding there yet. They'll be from a Yidden, but you're promising them a land. Let the land be a place where they have the physical needs taken care of. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, there's the land I promised to the Avais, the land to which we look as a land of Aliyah, of growth, and spiritual growth, in connection to the Shechina. And then there's the land that I promised to the Hamoinam, which includes a lot, which includes a wonderful land, a beautiful land. And now in the street here in Yerushalayim, it's the most beautiful place in the world. Its beauty and the plenty that Eretz Yisrael gives to its people whenever its people come here is extraordinary. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. That's the incentive. That's the candy. Yes, it attracts the attraction to the goof, but it has to be a place of great aliyah. And so, too, over the years of our great long galus, Jews have come here for two reasons. Many, many times, most often, the great aliyot, the great periods of immigration to the land of Israel, were caused by oppression in other lands. Of course, because it was safer here, people looking for a better life. There were holy people who came here because they wanted the aliyah, the ruchni. It seems that the Torah recognizes each. But halavai when we come, that you get the sense of an aliyah ruchni, which is really, really the ikar, the main thing. And that goal of coming to Eretz Yisrael with this purpose means getting off the plane and going straight to learn, straight to daven, and straight to a makom of kedusha. And so, as I set out on a period of time, I hope to be in Eretz Yisrael. I will be returning to the States right before Tisha B'Av. I hope, halavai, it should be a Tisha B'Av where we pack up and move permanently to Atzeinu HaKadosha. Until then, at least, try the chaparayin and recognize this place of great aliyah. Wishing one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbos.